Okay, hi guys, it's Friday, October 1st. Welcome to another episode of We Are Curious. My name is Ali Mwakaneno, your usual host. And with me, two amazing souls as usual. First of all, Felix Ochieng, the host of the amazing Wednesday podcast called Bulls, Bears and Markets. And the other one is?
Money Markets.
Money Markets. Yeah, her name is not Money Markets.
I'm Nicole Amaya. Looking forward to doing this topic.
Nicole, what do you do here?
He says community manager.
All right. So in case you see any cool posts on his social media, you know, the lady or rather the face behind, you know, those chat box on your tweets, on your Telegram messages, on your Facebook DMs, on your phone number. Do they DM your phone number? Right. If you want Nicole's number, talk to her directly. I have no business giving it to you. Anyway.
Ali, can you see the voice behind it or the face behind it? I really don't know why you say the face behind it yet. It's only a voice we can.
Well, it's just the voice for now. We'll get to see the... You guys will get to see the face behind it once Hisa IPOs. There's definitely going to be pictures for that. Hint, damn. Moving on. Today's discussion is going to revolve around...
Is the term meant to be like when Hisa IPOs or what? I think we missed that.
I cannot speak without a lawyer. Anyway, guys, it's been one hell of a week. We've had quite a number of things going on within the Kenyan market. First of all, we had numerous developments this week with regards to what's happening in the fuel sector, specifically developments that could or should affect the pricing of fuels. This is around the fuel development levy. We've seen different reactions from the lawmakers with regards to whether or not we should have the petroleum levy. How important is it and how should it be spent? Of course, these developments were in reactions to the astronomical rise in fuel prices mid last month. And also IPRA's projections. The lure in me. Hisa's projections for the upcoming prices. Not Hisa, it's IPRA, guys. Hisa does not regulate fuel prices yet. IPRA announced that there's a likelihood that the next announcement is going to come with higher fuel prices, given what's been happening in global markets when it comes to the commodity. I'm sure Felix is going to feed us that in. Something else we'll be talking about definitely is the NHIF and the mandatory contributions that were recently passed by parliamentarians. It's a long word. And then, of course, we'll touch a little bit on electricity subsidies, given the president's announcement, who are going to be affected by the subsidies, who are going to miss out. And from a regional point of view, we'll travel to Nigeria today. So if we have an Oga on the other side, guys, we're coming to you. We'll discuss what's happening around the e-Naira, when it will be launched. And I don't know what guys think. From a global point of view, definitely social media. We saw a TikTok NFT this week. We saw that Facebook is expanding Reels into Facebook. That is Facebook, the mother app, as opposed to just Instagram. We saw Twitter launched, Twitter Professionals. Those are just some of the things that we'll be discussing today. Welcome to the show. Before I go on, Felix, what's something that caught your eye this week?
Hi, Ali. I think, first of all, the main thing that has really caught my eye is that we really have an awesome countryside where I am today. So, the countryside is pretty amazing. And then another thing is that, yes, we have some good roads, you know, and we also have some very bad roads in the country. Another thing is that the NHIF thing, I think, has really been a teaser. And then, because, you know, NHIF, I don't know why you've not mentioned that, but it looks like the government is not only coming for your money to be given, but they're also coming for it to help. So right now, I think there's some proposal by NHIF to have every household pay 500 shillings to NHIF for cover. I know that we had discussed some time back, but I think for me that's something that's really, really stressful. Guys can't even have 500 shillings as money that they eat in a day. Like, how many guys can actually pay 500 shillings within the country and a month, and you want them to actually come in here? And also remember that we have people who are unemployed. There are guys who are directly supporting the internal door. And so that's something that I know we're definitely going to probably just have an overview up. But in my opinion, I think that was something. Another thing that came in handy, and I know we discussed this later on, is WPP's capital group released the financials, and then they issued a profit warning, and I'll tell you just how bad the profit is on the market. Just when we...
Felix, I think we lost you there. Could be the you got distracted by the view.
You know, and because QuickMart is opening stores every place, anywhere. As long as there's somebody doing shop inside that, then they're looking at it. And then finally, there's an issue about early today when Capital Markets Authority actually granted an extension of provisional license for companies. Brokers, so they extended that, I think, for another month. So looks like the commodity space is really a lot. I know I can talk about a lot, but Ali, I think those are the main things that really stood out.
Thank you so much. Maybe just pinging it back to my other co-host, Nicole. What's something that has caught your attention this week? Something that I don't know you enjoyed or really disappointed you? Could be anything.
I don't know if you're still with us because you're mute.
Sorry, I am still with you. Yes, we're just hearing from Nicole. How has her week been, and maybe if there's something that caught her attention on the news.
I mean, mine has to be everything to do with social media. I was just looking at what new advancements that are being released. But also another thing that caught my eye this week was the robot by Amazon.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's called Astro.
Mm-hmm.
So they released Astro, released earlier this week.
Right.
I think. But I don't know. I don't think it's all that, to be honest. What do you think, Felix, about Astro?
The only robot I'm trusting is from Elon, so the rest, whatever it is, I'm not trusting Bezos, so please.
What did Bezos do to you?
The two guys I don't trust, Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson. So, yeah, the only person I'm supporting in that race, whichever race it is, so it's going to be fast. The rest of them are RTV. We have an alien. I would rather support the
aid. Away from the beef between non-billionaires arguing about who is their better billionaire, in case you're curious, in case you're curious, Astro is Amazon's first home robot, and it was launched on Tuesday, and there's still a lot coming up with regards to what Astro can and cannot do. But essentially, it's going to be a test on how well robots can perform, you know, home duties, or they can fit into the house. It's an addition of what other things that Amazon has been having, you know, everything from speakers to security cameras and doorbells. Of course, none of the things that I own currently. But then again, we are many. I think, well, let's just dive into the flesh of today's discussion. Felix, the fuel development levy. So I know today is kind of a dark day for We Are Curious, because members of parliament are actually weighing whether or not they want to abolish the fuel levy. This is because, hey, there have been accountability issues. But then again, if that's going to be the hinge of many decisions, then I guess we have to abolish the whole country. And the accountability issues stem from the fact that the fuel development levy has been money from the kitty is being diverted. Yeah. And ideally, money from the kitty is supposed to sort of help to cushion consumers from high fuel prices. And it has been for the past few months of this year. But then again, the kitty is running quite low. And that's been the issue. So recently we've seen the fuel prices have spiked simply because the subsidy from the kitty has been lifted off, hence the astronomical rise in fuel prices. My question to you guys today would be, should this tax be there or not? B, what other things can we do in terms of, you know, shifting the burden between consumers and the government in terms of either buying fuel at high prices, but then making sure that the money that we pay in taxes or in levies like the petroleum levy does what it's supposed to do, or buying fuel at maybe low prices, but then the government misses out on that revenue. Felix, what do you think?
There's a Swahili saying that says, ichome, ichome, wake. I mean, personally for me, these are things, you know, first of all, it goes all the way. I wouldn't want to blame any Kenyan, but guys, these are the people we voted for. There's some politicians, or rather some legislators that didn't actually know that we had, they didn't know the content of the QLA. You see some guys talking, I wouldn't want to hit on select guys, because it's not a political show. I don't want guys to start saying I'm campaigning for Baba Nani Kumbe, you know, I'm not.
Right.
So it's a challenge that our politicians usually have a blind vote, where they technically vote for things as long as it's probably brought in by a party member, or technically whenever it's brought in by whichever part of the coalition. That are they in the opposition? Are they pro-government? And I think that has really become a challenge. One of the things that is really proving up a little bit of a challenge, and everybody's really trying to just figure out how MPs really move on to it. Because, you know, Ali, the cost of fuel in the country, and just in case, like, a lot of people really don't understand how generally the pricing formula for fuel in Kenya is actually calculated. So before you see the 120, 130 per litre on your fuel pump, then just know that what's really happening is that the cost is usually put in from the cost of production, the cost of actual supply, the cost of the various costs that are related to the levies and the taxes, and then a few margins. So, and remember, all these other production levels are actually taxed. So the finding here that the production cost is being taxed, the actual supply chain cost is being taxed, and the margin levels are also being taxed. The levies and taxes that are also being put on the fuel purchase are also being taxed again. So the main reason why usually we're having our pump prices is because, let's be honest, it's not only Kenya fuel prices really go up. If you're probably updated with current trends on global markets, then you're probably aware that fuel prices have gone so high, to the point where we had Brent futures actually hit as high as $80. So as of today, that figure was slightly lower. And hoping that OPEC Plus, that the countries, an association of countries that usually produce oil, and so we're hoping that they meet Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and their allies are meeting on Monday next week to have a discussion on the way forward to see if we can have an increase in production of oil. And once that increase comes in, then a high possibility. So when in terms of company or a lot in terms of the oil price, because it's just a game of demand. So when supply is high, then demand, when supply is high that can exceed the demand, then the prices will go down. When the supply is low, like it's been over the past, because you remember at a similar time last year, OPEC actually went and sat down and actually had a decline. They pushed down some of their margin numbers. And remember earlier this year as well, around April, Saudi Arabia tried to have an effect within that speech, and they actually increased the production by about 1 million barrels a day.
Right.
And then later on during the discussion, they had that shut down. So we're seeing an engagement where various oil countries are likely to have this, but away from the global team, back to the country, you're basically being taxed at every single level. Even the little margin, the margin cost that marketing companies actually make is being taxed. So the best thing they have to do is to ensure that their margins are as high as possible, so that whenever they're taxed, they also make profit. Remember, there are guys who are probably buying Total Energy, that's Total Kenya PLC, and guys are buying Total Energy on the Nairobi Securities Exchange with the hope that they're probably going to attend it, right? And one of the things that most people haven't really gotten to know is that the energy companies we have in Kenya, none of them is a production company. All of them are marketing agents. Whether it's Total Kenya Marketing, Total Energy's marketing, or whether it's the Dutch Shell, whether it's Rubis, none of them is an oil producing company. All of them are actually marketing for their main company, which is probably doing the production or the acquisition of oil blocks at various regions. We've seen Total actually try and buy the oil, the natural gas, the one that we're currently having an issue with Somalia over. So those are something that we need to know. The big challenge is that it's also affecting the global market supply is that we're yet to see the full impact or the full influence of Iran, because we know Iran has been put in various sanctions,
mm-hmm.
And every country, most of the OPEC plus countries, don't really don't do business with Iran. So, you know, and that's a major challenge. Iran, yeah, some other things. So we've seen that, and remember, Iran has one of the largest oil imports globally. It's actually saying Iran can produce up to 7 million barrels of oil a day.
Right.
If that alone could be introduced into the global space, then I think we'd actually see a decline in prices to probably about an average of maybe about $69. And if all these other, if we see Venezuela increase the oil production, if we see Mexico increase the oil production, if we see the US, if we see Russia, if we see China, and also if we see Saudi Arabia and Nigeria, of course, if we could be able to increase that oil production, something would really be interesting. The bigger question is, when is South Sudan introducing their oil onto the global market? And then when Uganda starts exporting oil, are we going to be the guys to, you know, get a piece of that cake? And we already know they're having the pipeline go through the lab instead of Nairobi. But can we have a taste of that pie? Can these African nations actually come together so that we can have a lot of oil production that happen within rather than exporting? Very unfortunate that you're exporting oil outside the country. You're exporting crude oil just for you to import refined oil. I think that sucks. It's like exporting your avocado from Kakuzi, and then it goes to the UK, and then it comes back. You know, like the guys were saying the other day, that it's so unfortunate that you have Starbucks in South Africa, and the Starbucks in South Africa imports their coffee from Kenya. And not directly. This coffee is imported from the UK. So there's a company in the UK that is taking their coffee from Kenya outside the continent,
mm-hmm.
and then processing it elsewhere and then selling it to Starbucks coffee in South Africa. Can you imagine such a scenario? So it's a point when our leaders talk really to the fish, but I think also the big challenge is we do not have the capacity.
Right.
So yeah, we don't have the capacity yet, but instead of blessing this oil production company, because you think companies like Total, which has which is the company that is the drilling and mining of crude in Uganda, I think they should be tasked with first setting up a refinery and not exporting it like we think. Because I think there's a lot that Uganda can make by just exporting oil to Kenya alone, where prices are so high. And maybe Tanzania and even DRC. You know, there's a lot that they could do by just supplying the African continent. Rather than having this the shitty face where we're all the time where we see things coming into Africa to find, and yet the raw products for this are actually African.
I think my question still stands, because look, from where I sit, from a consumer point of view, and then just looking at the current numbers of the inflation, fuel prices rose, inflation rose to like an 18-month high. We're currently at what, 6.93%. I hope we never get to 16. But then again, Felix, without these levies, there's some money that we're missing out. Without, ideally, money from, you know, taxes like the fuel levy here is supposed to help in road maintenance. Yeah? How do we balance this? Because thing is, the prices of fuel are going to rise again, and then we're going to circle back to this same discussion, complain that taxes account for what? Close to almost half of the fuel cost in Kenya. And we've seen lawmakers sometimes implement laws that are not the most transparent, that have affected the prices of fuel lately. Felix, how do we balance our need to charge on taxes like the petroleum levy so that we can make sure we maintain our roads versus, you know, hurting Wanjiku or Omaya in this case?
Ali, you know, there's one thing that people never really understand is that for a country that depends on oil, as we do on fuel,
mm-hmm.
then there's a huge correlation between oil and inflation.
Right.
Because one of the things that you really need to understand here
mm-hmm.
is that as long as oil prices, as long as fuel prices, let's not say it, because whenever you mention oil, people think crude oil. But whenever we're talking about fuel prices, as long as those prices will go high, then there's no time inflation will come down. Because remember, every single thing that is within the economy, within our economy, has a certain element of a critical aspect, you know, a critical activity that is actually being used to, that is actually fully dependent on it. Because one of the things that we've seen is on global trends, we've seen this little bit of a shift between fossil fuel, that is oil, mm-hmm. as compared to green energy, but still we can't compare the level of green energy that fossil fuel has on green energy. We know, yes, a little bit of growth, you guys buying Tesla cars, but we've actually seen those things where the cars are actually fuel. So it's a bit of a concern, because the consumer price index is really, you know, the bottom line for all of this would at every single time go up as long as we have high fuel prices. Because when the fuel prices is high or are high, then the basic thing that we're going to see is that the cost of production, the cost of supply of commodities is also going to go up, because we know one of the things is that some of these companies, that, and I just mentioned so that guys would understand,
mm-hmm.
some of the companies that we talk about, they probably have a generator there's the taxes that are constantly coming in, so the generator that is probably backing up the supply, the manufacturing side. And then we also have the cost of transporting this. Can you imagine? And let me just get the latest results so that I can give guys a little bit of data as we speak. But can you imagine, Ali, you probably want to go to, you're probably buying your fuel, say, Mandera.
You wish.
And the cost is way higher, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, not at the border between Kenya and Ethiopia, where fuel is like 50 shillings lower. But can you imagine where you're buying your fuel in Mandera and the cost is extremely high? So imagine if you're a bus driver and you have to transport, say cabbages from Kiambu, and you're taking them all the way to Mandera, and you know that the fuel is good on a one-way trip, where you probably buy fuel in Europe a few cents cheaper. But when you get to Mandera, where your margin is probably supposed to be where you make your profit, then your cost is, the cost of fuel is going to go up by another 30 shillings,
mm-hmm.
you know, another like 14, 15 shillings. You're probably buying your fuel in Mombasa, and you're driving that more than cost bus all the way to Kisumu or Kitale. When you get to Kitale, and Ali, I'm not saying that you're driving a modern cost bus, but just an example is that at Kitale, you're probably finding that the fuel is way expensive than you go at Mombasa. Remember, at Kitale, you need to fuel, so you go back. So you have to ensure that margin. And remember, at every single point, there's a lot of other aspects, there's security, there's the time spent to, you know, get the product all the way to that place. It's a huge challenge. We really have to acknowledge that as fuel prices continue to go up, then there's a high possibility we won't see it. But you see, the CPI was at 6.91%. But Ali, you know, we also have to see here that there are a lot of other things. An example is transport. Transport was up at 9.21%, and that's just on fuel alone. And if you look on everything else, remember KPL is charging energy costs, the things that KPL is charging, and you're also being taxed whenever you fuel at a station. I really don't know why you're probably being charged
That's definitely looks like we're gonna need definitely a deep dive on fuel here. But Felix, I'm happy you mentioned the CPI, because the next thing that we're gonna talk about was the August inflation numbers. It's a 19-month all-time high. We're currently the monthly fresh inflation. Sorry, not August, September. For some reason, this year is moving too fast for me. But we're currently at 6.91%. The highest we'd seen before was last year February, which was at 7.17%. According to Central Bank Governor, we're still well within our target range, which is between 2.5% to 7.5%. And of course, this conversation would not have been here if we hadn't seen some of the, you know, the rise in imported inflation, especially the price of fuel has risen, just like we've discussed. And of course, we've seen an increase in price in food products, all the way from carrots, oranges, cabbages. Potatoes were untouched, weren't they? Could be good news for Kiambu. And we've also seen a rise in, you know, other essentials. So electricity cost is up. And Felix, there's something here that I'd like to talk about here. Two inputs. A, in as much as the central bank can do what it does with regards to the monetary policy, there's no control when it comes to the price of Murban, the crude oil. There's also no control when it comes to the price which we access inputs like electricity, because see, once we pay more for fuel, we pay more for electricity. Those two things are used for the production of virtually everything. Just thinking out loud here, again, to you, to Nicole, and to our listeners, what are some of the ways you think Kenya can cushion itself from imported inflation? Yeah. Sim Rooks on Telegram says, our problem is largely the misuse of the revenue. I agree partially. Felix.
Let us stop corruption.
Felix, I'm talking about ways which we can cushion ourselves from, you know, because here's the thing. There are some words that I cannot use in this podcast to express myself, but whenever we have a rise in fuel prices in OPEC, or we have lower productions, we become marionette. That's the best word I can use in these circumstances. So how can we prevent this? I guess that's something that...
Honestly, I think maybe that we can have an in-depth discussion when we're talking about the energy sector. And I know we had a discussion with Eunice about the same. And guys, in case they're wondering who you think she is, our energy correspondent, and she's also a very smart person when it comes to energy correspondent. But definitely she's smart when it comes to matter. So Ali, I know we're planning for a session, and so we definitely will discuss on that video when it comes to how guys can participate, the various effects or the possible effects of exposing themselves on an energy,
right,
on fuel prices.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that will be on both an individual level and also on the group level.
Yeah, and maybe still in the same news. We have a bittersweet news here. I think yesterday we saw that we got more clarity with regards to the president's announcement about the subsidies on electricity bill. So early in the week, we had news coming. We had a directive actually on Wednesday requiring the Ministry of Energy to cut the power tariffs by 33% down to 16 shillings per kilowatt from the current 24. I was about to celebrate this, but then again, the cut only affects domestic consumers who use more than 100 kilowatts per month. Nicole, how much power do you use in a month?
I don't know.
Right. As what to a deep state. So yeah, that's definitely a discussion. So if you're a huge power consumer, power to you. If you're like me and Felix, life moves on. Something that
why am I being involved in that?
I've been to your house, Felix. I know you can't use 100 kilowatts hour per month.
Hey, but anyway, I think it's very interesting what the president is saying.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that most people never reduce their life, you know?
Yeah.
Like at least less than 2,000 on power every month, then you should be able to expect much. So it's still a game of taxing the, I won't say taxing the poor, but it's just a game of taking advantage of the mid level. Because I know the last time the president made an incentive was when he talking about actually the taxes, which I think is still actually applicable to basically use less than, was it 10 kilowatts?
Mm-hmm.
That is the guys who are by then spending less than 150 shillings of power every single month.
150?
Yeah, the guys were machine learning. Remember, when guys were saying like today was a big power, because machine learning guys are just using for battery, for lighting.
Right.
And maybe charging, we charge the phone and everything else. Yeah, like right now, I think my wherever I am, machine learning, the high possibility that the bill is going to go up because I'm laptop. So yeah, but anyway, that's just on a light note, guys. The various places around, and the challenge that we're going to have is to, I think when I first had this and we were talking with one of the analysts in the market, and I told them, hey, for our government, it's about that time when guys come promising you every single thing you actually need.
Felix, a question that I think
I think this is a challenge. I think that is a political issue. I really think, regardless of this being a presidential directive, we've seen how many presidential directives have been given, and we're like, we are 3-4 years into them, and none of them has actually been given. So, in an honest opinion, and then also remember one thing that, and this is the only thing that I always tell guys, whenever anything relates to a listed company, then it's not only about the president or the Ministry of Energy to make certain calls. Remember, Kenya Power needs to, and some of these directives are usually just because of the various subsidies that the government gives to the power production or the power supply companies like KenGen and Kenya Power. And in this case, some of these approvals have to be made by shareholders as well. This company has the government, so the government is a majority shareholder in Kenya Power. But also one of the things that we need to know in this case is that the Ministry of Finance, that's the government of Kenya, through the Ministry of Finance, has about 50.09. So yes, they still have the majority. And we'll just see just to what level that they'll be able to break in that. And the only good thing that this has actually done is it's exposing just where Kenya Power is going to probably making the mistakes in. Mm-hmm. And a few of these areas are like, you know, we've seen Kenya Power is buying units of energy from the private power suppliers. And that's the guys who they've signed with the PPPs, and we've seen guys coming in here at way higher cost, where they're buying power from Kenya at 5 shillings, and yet there are guys who they're buying power from at 100 and 50.
Right.
So just about bringing us to the limelight, and as shareholders, it's now time for guys to actually now hold on to hold KPLC accountable. The management, where are they getting these expenses power purchase? You know? And so I believe that's one thing that we need to transform. But I think whatever it is that the president said, I don't trust anything the government says. It's not really about the president, but anything that the government says, any government globally, you should always question. Whenever they say that there's no alien or refugee people, we have Elon.
Yeah, Felix, we lost you there a little bit. But then again, we have a question on Telegram, and Eric Mwangi is asking whether the incentive is applicable for manufacturing companies. And to my understanding, manufacturing companies fall under the category of industrial consumers of power. So, Felix? I think Kisumu Dala finally lost network for the first time in history. So we're going to move on. So we're going to move on away from that.
I think we've seen, to answer that, is that one of the things that we know is the other day, Kenya Association of Manufacturers actually wrote a letter and said that, yes, they're actually supporting the bringing down of, you know, the restructuring of the various leases that the president has actually put in place to, you know, help various, what it's called, the various individuals, the various households in the country. But for them, the main thing was that, you know, the best thing was just to see on how Kenya Power would actually restructure the various power purchase agreements which they actually have in. And I think that we already know that there's been a lot of incentives to have power purchase more affordable for companies, but I think the directive that we have here was meant for consumers. But we're really hoping that this would be that this would actually be something better for us as consumers and also as industry. I'm not an industry myself, but I'm part of an industry, and I know it would be very interesting just to see on what categories of consumers we have for Kenya Power. Is it going to be all the way up to the large scale electricity consumers, or is it going to be the household consumers? Because if it's large scale, then definitely we're going to see even companies like manufacturers. We've seen earlier on, like, I know last year there was really the reduction in tariffs for manufacturers that was about in around September, October last year.
Right.
There was something that we saw to reduce that for companies, and I think it's will be here. So, let's really hope that things would actually be tough for the company, because it's not only tough for us, it's also tough for them.
Right. I think moving on from that, I think let's look at what's happening regionally. And Nigeria pulled a China, or rather Nigeria is planning to pull a China. And by that, I don't mean that Nigeria will start lending to Kenya exorbitantly. What I mean is Nigeria is gearing up to launch their own digital currency. It's called the eNaira. It's a central bank digital currency, a CBDC. and it's going to have the same value as the fiat. It's going to be pegged on the naira, and it's really surprising because, hey, just a few weeks ago, the Central Bank of Nigeria had taken quite a hard stance against cryptocurrencies, and we saw that many startups in that space were affected. Felix, what's up in Nigeria, man? I know you know a few ogas here and there.
I think I know that there's a little bit of this discussion that we had a while ago. I believe on Wednesday we had a discussion with them and Franje regarding the crypto space and the launch of eNaira. And one of the things that we know, or at least we have thought of, was that, you see, most countries are trying to ban various cryptos before they launch their own digital currency. And Nigeria coming in and launching the eNaira, the initial launch date was actually supposed to be today, but I haven't really seen anything from Central Bank of Nigeria. And we'll just be hoping and seeing what's likely to happen. We'll see onto the launch what's likely to happen, at least just on the adoption bit, because there's been a lot that Nigeria has really pushed up. And so that, technically that would be one thing. But I'm also just seeing that earlier today, so I've just confirmed that earlier today, the Central Bank of Nigeria actually postponed the launching of the eNaira. This is after eNaira Payment Solutions filed a lawsuit before the Federal High Court against the Central Bank of Nigeria over the name eNaira. So until they settle on something, you know, we could probably see this. But for now, I think that is a possibility on hold.
Yeah, actually, the CBN gave out a statement today on Facebook, and they were saying that I know that they planned to unveil the eNaira today, but then some of the activities revolving around the country's commemoration of its 61st independence anniversary got in the way. And so they have postponed the launch, and they haven't really spoken with regards to when the currency will be launched. But then again, I feel like it comes right on time, because many people have been avoiding, you know, transacting with the Naira. The Naira hasn't been performing the best against other currencies, which has sort of affected many Nigerians. One of the people that I follow on Twitter was saying that he moved around 60 to 80% of their assets from the Naira to the dollar. And I was like, sheesh, this currency is not doing good. But then who am I to speak? The Kenyan shilling hit 111 yesterday against the dollar. So I'm just going to keep quiet. Felix, something else that that also I've been following up this week. I know you're a really, really big fan of South African markets, and you're well connected to the CEO of BGSE. Yes, I say that on air, Leila Fourie. South Africa launched another exchange yesterday, and it's the Cape Town Stock Exchange, and it looks to attract companies from Nigeria and, hold on, Kenya. I said it. Companies from Kenya. You know, some ones that are having a hard time on the NSE. Felix, what do you think? And yes?
Can we just say that we should have another stock exchange, or we should have another exchange in Mombasa or Naivasha or Kisumu or Mandera? I've been talking about Mandera today a lot. I think I need to come. But it's very interesting that Cape Town managed to pull out an interesting move, because they did this in one of the short time. And I think the main challenge that they're probably, the main bit they're taking advantage of, we've seen a decline in terms of activity for listings across Nigeria and also Kenya. And so the best thing that they're probably going to look at is, hey, you know, consumers coming. And we saw the other day that
Right.
Trade on the exchange. And I think it's just going to be before. We're seeing a level where with the integration that we've recently had with various capital markets, and I think we had that integration with Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria, and also Egypt and Morocco and Ghana. So we're likely to see a lot of activity, mostly pull up.
Felix, we lost you there, but
exchange,
right?
Okay, so I was saying, you know what the Cape Town Exchange is actually doing, which is better, is that the technical in other markets across the continent. That, hey, if you guys don't want to ease any restrictions for a company to list, then hey, let us have that thing. And South Africa is the most vibrant stock exchange in the continent. I mean, who doesn't want to? We have a lot of companies that are market ready. But they just don't have, South Africa has the capital, at least from global markets and also from the market. Kenya has companies that are ready, but we do not have the capital. And we have to believe we have to appreciate that we don't have the capital. I wish we had the capital, but we don't have the capital. So that's one thing. I know they're probably planning for another call, Lila, that's the CEO for the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
Told you he's well connected. Yeah, just also to touch on that, because you're wondering how the Cape Town Stock Exchange is looking to attract guys, one of the value adds that they're offering is low listing costs that will be as little as a third compared to what is charged on the JSE. That is definitely something that I know Felix will mention when he talks to Lila. And on your hopes on launching another exchange in Mombasa, you guy, my guy, Pwani si Kenya, move on. I think you're being a little bit optimistic. However, you can put your money on maybe trying to improve some of the conditions at the NSE and trying to give investors, I don't know, better tools to invest. You know, Felix, imagine what would happen with what Hisa is teasing here. Hisa is teasing partial shares in global markets that are going to be launched very soon. What if you could, you know, you could buy partial shares? Felix, can you buy partial shares on the NSE? You know, big companies like BAT and Kakuzi, I can't afford me a BAT. Can you buy half a share, quarter a share? Can I use my 10 bob to buy BAT? Same way someone would buy their cigarettes.
Simple answer is no. You cannot be able to trade it, or you cannot be able to do fractional trading of stock on the NSE exchange. Then I think that's one of the things that we must be working on. Yeah, I know we've been doing this for a very long time. Don't worry. Beautiful things take time.
Right. Are yet to be born?
Yes, exactly. So one of the things that we
need. Sorry, Felix, I keep losing you, so but I do.
Sorry, I need to so one of the things that we need to know is that I think fractional trading would be revolutionary for the Kenya space. Can you imagine how many guys want to buy BAT? And because you can't afford, because the minimum loss you can buy on the NSE for the normal market is 100 shares. So if BAT is probably trading at about 300, then you have to hold on. You have to get your certificate so that you can buy 100 shares.
Mm-hmm.
How about if I had my one thing and I can be able to buy BAT a fraction of it? I have my 30 shares and I can buy a third of that. I have actually by a test of that. And I think that's what everybody out there literally wants. That is what we all want to come to really on the market. It's also bringing a lot of liquidity. And adequate liquidity is one of the things that a lot of guys haven't been able to utilize, is that adequate liquidity on the market is definitely a stable price action. And it also be a very vibrant change, because can you imagine if you bought if you want to buy Safaricom, if you have that chip that you can buy, then there will be a high possibility that they are on the price, at least on the big, the top 5 markets that have actually taken the lead on the market. Remember, when you're talking about market on Monday, being said that for the previous week, the NSE had actually the top 5 companies to overtake a lot of activity by just, you know, capturing about 99% of the market. Imagine the remaining companies that left have like about 10%. So if we have each company is actively trading on the NSE, it means that we have 3 companies taking up of the NSE.
Right. I think as I would have.
Actually, no trading on the market. I know in terms of market, I talk a lot, but that's one.
You do, and definitely it's gonna be a big discussion on Markets Monday too. Some of the listeners that are tuning in into this podcast that are interested in Markets Monday is where you want to be, if or rather when you want to access real-time discussions on what's been happening on the NSE and other African and global stock exchanges. If you monitor the indices like the SP 500, the Nasdaq, the Dow. I know you can definitely find the data on what's happening on these indices on HISA, but then if you want to get the story, the juice behind it, definitely join in Markets Monday. It's around 9:30 every Monday live with, of course, our able one and only Felix Ochieng. And then the podcast is live later on podcast.kenyanwallstreet.com and the HISA app. So that's when we'll give Felix, you know, a better chance to talk about markets. Right now, what I'd like to hear from rather more is our community manager Nicole, and that's because I know she's a content creator on the side, and I really want to mention her platform, but then she doesn't pay me for that, so she's gonna have to wait. Nicole, Facebook has launched Reels on Facebook. I know Reels was already available in other Facebook apps like Instagram, and however they're teasing a payment, a bonus for creators on Reels. Before you get ahead of yourself, you are in Kenya, and of course this bonus is not available on the 254. It's probably going to take a while before it gets here, but it's part of Facebook's initiative to invest over 1 billion in creators. And of course, if you've been following this news, Reels came right after TikTok because, you know, TikTok was gaining quite some popularity. And hey, Reels is doing the numbers. Nico, what do you feel about you know, having the ability to share content cross-platform? Across in the same ecosystem. So Facebook, Instagram, Facebook. You can already do that with posts. Now you can do that with Reels, and you're making money. They're offering full screen capabilities. What do you expect from a creator point of view? That is assuming you were doing it from the US.
Yeah, so it's currently available in the US only, but I think it's good for creators and brands because the fact that you can share Reels across the two platforms means a wider audience, means a wider reach for any creator or any brand. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's about time. I really wish it comes to Africa very quickly. Oh yeah, and
maybe just to ask you, what do you, from a creator's point of view, which one do you prefer in terms of getting that interaction you want with your audience? Reels by Instagram and now Facebook or TikTok?
Personally, I prefer Reels by Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I lean more into Instagram. I feel like TikTok is, yes, it has a wider audience, but I feel like it's too crowded. Too many things going on.
And crowds are not for you, are they?
I prefer Instagram.
Oh, okay. maybe still around the same thing. We've seen questions on whatever. Facebook was also teasing Instagram for kids. Yeah. And this is mostly because, you know, we had questions on whether Facebook knew whether Instagram can harm teenagers. And this is definitely a lawsuit that has been going to the US. What do you think in terms of from a creator's point of view, if we had Instagram for kids, I'm assuming this is 0 to 16 or 0 to 18, and then of course we have Instagram for we people who are taxed by KRA amongst other tax agencies in the world, would you have to replicate your content across if your content is targeted for both audiences? Is this a plus or a minus? I know you do fitness content, and I'm assuming this spans across. Sorry, guys, we're facing a network glitch. Nicole might not be able to comment right now. But yes, if you've been following the news, Reels is not the only development that we've had in the Facebook ecosystem. We've had questions with regards to whether and to what extent Facebook knew that the photo sharing platform harmed teenagers, especially girls, affecting self-image. But then that is definitely something that we're going to look into later when we're looking at how these, you know, little waves have been rocking Facebook's performance. Lastly, the NFT craze. I know this is something that if we had Jackson, our CTO, he would have been really, really excited. TikTok is flirting with NFTs. And the social media platform is sort of riding on some of the top creators we have, of course, on Earth. Guys like Grimes, who is it the ex-wife or the wife to Elon Musk?
The ex-wife,
right.
I think they're separated, but not what they married in the past week.
Come on, guys. What?
Right.
Okay.
So TikTok will be placing NFT and the NFTs on the platform are definitely going to be backed by Ether, and this is just sort of another push for creators, of course, globally, because TikTok says that it's exploring such innovations to empower creators on the platform. And it's going to be a way for creators to be recognized and to be rewarded for their content. I don't know. I still want to talk to guys who have NFTs in Kenya, like Eliud the Goat Kipchoge. Felix, what do you think? Would you actively go and hunt for NFTs on TikTok? This is assuming that you have a TikTok.
I don't know. I don't really know if devs would buy TikTok or buy an NFT on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider. So I don't know. Devs, would you consider buying something an NFT on TikTok?
Definitely.
Des, I'm happy you're here. Comment about this banner. Des, I don't know if you can. If you
and
can.
I probably have planned and you know, make a purchase on. I'd probably plan to not go to TikTok because I personally don't use TikTok.
Right.
We've been here following the data. What's his name? The company founder, the youngest billionaire, he retired. That's what am I doing with my life? But anyway, when Ether goes public, he'll probably retire as well, the same way, and the New York Stock Exchange. Yeah, but come on, if Dan is buying it, I'm buying it. So yeah, then let's download it.
Hello, certainly.
Okay, Ali, I think that's something we'll probably, you know, look on an in-depth view, and probably does TikTok probably have to offer to NFT guys who generally on the NFT craze thing.
Denz, is there something, do you know the backstory behind the platform that TikTok will be using for its NFT, or is it something that you think we should talk about on Wednesday?
From the technology to verify the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think also Binance and literally any other crypto exchange has an NFT component in it. I don't think there's a hard technology behind it, that there's only one supply. Just people doing verification engines and maybe integrating it to profit.
Okay, you heard the man. So in case you wanna know more about what will be happening around the TikTok NFTs. So the NFTs are going to be sort of a selection of culturally significant TikTok videos. So some of the moments that broke the internet, and it's definitely in partnership with creators, and there's gonna be an auction of these one-on-one moments that broke the internet. And then the limited NFT editions of these moments are going to be dropped weekly until the end of the month. And then they're gonna be traded on something called Immutable there too. This is definitely Den's areas of expertise. And Den's, I really, really hope you talk about it on Wednesday.
Sure.
Amazing, amazing. This is all we had for today's discussion. Before we close, I was wondering in case anyone had had a question on Telegram for our discussion. Going once, going twice. All right, I cannot hear from anyone. Yeah, guys, thank you for joining today's discussion. As usual, this discussion is brought to you by Hisa. Chuck is asking if the curfew is still on. Please make sure you're in the house by 10. Yes, the curfew is still on. And I am sure that our able leader of this country is going to renew the subscription. But then what I have on my desk is the previous announcement covered us all the way to October 18th. So yes, make sure you get home on time. That's going to be it. Thank you for joining us today. Mick?
Conversations around the prices of fuel.
Yes.
But I think something that is sleeping a lot of people is LPGs, mm-hmm. which are also related by EPRA and also jet fuel. So I think jet fuel is at around 50 shillings. That was something that just shocked me. The price of importation is pretty much the same, but the retail price of petrol is almost three times that of jet fuel.
Right.
I don't know, is there an opportunity for me to use jet fuel on my car? I think I should customize my engine.
I know. I do not know about jet fuel, but I do know that you can use LPG on your car. There's a company that I'm actually in conversation with, and this is definitely going to be a podcast you want to watch out for on Hisa or podcast on KenyanWallStreet.com or Spotify. I don't know, wherever you get your podcast. And yes, there's a company that I'll be hosting that helps guys in Kenya to convert their cars from just gas only to gas / LPG hybrids. And based on my current research already, the numbers I will offer later, the mileage, it's cheaper to travel around using LPG than it is to use petrol. I will give you exact figures on the mileage in that podcast, as well as, you know, the retail prices for LPG versus petrol, and some of the rationales that we had that brought such companies in Kenya. It's actually something that's quite emerging. I've rode, I think, three cars in the last 3 months that use both LPG and gas, and that's going to be an interesting discussion. someone was asking a question with regards to exercise. I know this is something that we reported earlier. It's pegged on inflation, I think. Felix?
Yeah, I think also this is one of the things that probably kick us off on Wednesday discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it kicks off today, it would really be interesting just to first have at least a few days to see on the impact and probably the complaint so that we can have an overview of just how likely this is to happen. But we know the cost of goods is also going to go up based on this. And we see more of this. And I think this is something we can probably kick off with on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, so I think it's a regulation that was brought forward so some point in late last year. I remember we covered it on the Kenyan Wall Street, where the cost of certain goods is going to be pegged on inflation. So whenever inflation rises, bottled water, beverages, well, non-alcoholic beverages in this case, as well as cigarettes, is going to experience higher prices. So this is just a ripple effect to answer Eric. My opinion... I have opinions, but then I do not have the words to express on this platform because I consider those words vile. But yeah, it's just a continuation of us being continually screwed. Yes. I wish to end the podcast there. We're going to talk more about Google abandoning the plans to offer bank accounts to its users. It's a very, very, very recent development. And with regards to what I discussed earlier about gas, we have over 1,000 cars in Nairobi already running on LPG and fuel at the same time. So that's definitely going to be a big podcast. Thank you for joining us in today's discussion. See you on Monday. Goodbye.
Bye.